Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Ask John session. This is a special Ask John call-in session specifically for people in Europe and Africa and in the Greenwich Mean Time Zones. We have a phone number to call in. This is the time if you want to talk to me and ask any questions. This is the time to do it. The number that you would call is in the U.S., so it's 00 and then 111-347-637-3967. That's 00-111-347-637-3967. We're still going to have our regular scheduled Ask John call-in tomorrow, but I realize for most of you in Africa and in Europe, you're not awake for those times, so that's why we're having this call-in. I have with me Lucas Rockwood, and he's got some questions also that we can answer in the meantime. Lucas, are you there?
Yeah, hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. Just a quick clarification. If somebody's calling in on a mobile phone or a voice over IP, they'd want to use +1 for the country code.
Yeah.
If they're doing from a landline, the instructions you gave was exactly right. But if they're calling from a mobile phone or from a voice over IP line, just use +1 and then a 347 number.
Yeah. And then once you call in, if you have a question, you have to press 1. That tells us, that puts your hand up, that tells us you have a question, and then we'll speak to you and we'll put you in the queue. So press 1 if you have a question. In the meantime, Lucas, I know you've got, there's a lot of questions from the last couple of sessions, from session 6 and session 5. We got a lot of positive feedback on the forum on session 6. I think people were happy with where we were going about how to access the power of the mind and use it not only for weight loss, but for many other areas of your life. And in general, I find that's one of the benefits of approaching weight loss in this way is, okay, you're doing the visualizations, which are reducing stress and helping to communicate to your body that you don't need the weight in order to feel safe. And so that's really useful. But while you're doing the visualizations, you're also making your mind stronger and stronger. And you can then use that increased power that your mind has, increased focus and concentration toward being successful in other areas of life. So it ends up working out as a bonus in many other areas too. So definitely I think people are happy with that. But let me know, why don't you go ahead and get started and ask me whatever questions that you have, and then we can
get them out. Sure. We've got quite a few different questions on varying topics, but let's just jump right in. So the first one I have here is from Andreas. And the question is, what do you think about the pH in urine? And I think what's being referred to here is people talk about acidity and alkalinity, and they've read books like The Alkaline Diet and this kind of thing. And the issue is, says, when I was 180 kilograms, what was my pH? And now at 83 kilograms, what should be different? I'm not sure if they're referring to you or themselves, but the question is, should the pH of your urine be different when you're overweight as to when you're at a normal weight? If you have any thoughts on the acid alkaline thing.
I don't know the answer to that question, only because, although I do know, like, a lot of people measure their urine to see if they're in ketosis. I know when I was on the Atkins diet, they had me measure the pH of my urine to see if I was in ketosis. But ketosis is not necessarily a healthy way to lose weight. I don't know if the acid or alkaline in your blood system, which is what's really important, is going to be reflected in your urine. So I'm not sure how relevant that is, or if that's something that you necessarily need to be looking at. Just in general, you need to know that you want to get as much alkaline in your system as possible through water, preferably with a little bit of lemon or apple cider vinegar, because that has an alkalinizing effect in your body, and then through lots of live greens and maybe even live green juices, celery juices and things like that. You'll get a lot more alkaline in your system, and that alkaline will help clean out the toxins that are free radicals and the byproducts of protein synthesis and metabolism and things like that. So not an expert on the pH of urine, though. That's one question that I haven't had before.
Sure. Okay, great. Jackie asks, my question is about what causes leptin resistance and how do you combat it?
Okay. All right. That's a really good question. And leptin, I'll just give you a little bit of a background. We didn't talk too much about leptin in the step-by-step course, but leptin is probably the most important hormone in terms of your overall body's set point. Now, leptin is the master hormone that regulates how fat or thin your body wants to be. It's the way, leptin is the way your body communicates to your brain how fat it is. When the more leptin, the more fat you have in your body, the more leptin you produce. And when you produce leptin and your brain registers that leptin, what happens is your body says, wow, our leptin levels are going up, we're carrying too much leptin, or we're carrying too much fat, and so certain things happen, like you're not as hungry, and your metabolism speeds up, and you become more efficient at burning fat, and all these things that happen. But where things go wrong, because all overweight people have elevated leptin levels, where things go wrong is our bodies become resistant to leptin. We become leptin resistant, and that's similar to insulin resistance, where the cells are no longer listening. Now, stress and elevated cortisol levels, and also the mental and emotional stress will cause leptin resistance through elevated cortisol levels. Then stresses in your body, like inflammation and arthritis, digestion problems, will also cause leptin resistance, because the hormones that are involved in inflammation, which are called pro-inflammatory cytokines, they get elevated when you have inflammation and arthritis. Those hormones also cause leptin resistance. So everything that we're doing is geared toward combating leptin resistance, reducing stress, reducing the types of things that cause inflammation, help improving in digestion, and also reducing insulin resistance, because insulin resistance, which leads to elevated insulin levels, also causes leptin resistance. So everything that we're doing is geared toward making your body more sensitive to leptin, and that's really the way, when your body becomes more sensitive to leptin, you lose weight automatically. So suffice it to say that pretty much everything that we're doing in the program will help make your body more sensitive to leptin.
Great. I have a question from Helene, and this is kind of a complicated question, but I think it's a good one. I think a lot of people have similar experiences, maybe with a different condition. So she says she has Hashimoto's and is having a flare-up, and it's the first time in a long time. And she's someone who's lost over 100 pounds, and her last flare-up was in 2007, and she's just not sure what to do. It's just suddenly come back, and she's putting on weight. She's not feeling good. And, you know, she's somebody who's been following the Gabriel Method for a long time and had really great results, and now she's kind of having a rebound effect, and wondering if you have any ideas about, you know, how to address this from the same approach, but from a new approach.
What's the caller's name? What's your
Helene.
Helene. I just want to say, Helene, I'd like to speak to you about this, first of all, because there's so many variables that might be at play, but you also do need to talk to your doctor and find out and have them look at and find out what's going on and what's causing a flare up. So it could be from a number of different factors, probably stress related, but I would like to talk to you. So Helene, if you're listening to this call, let's talk personally, and let me figure out exactly what's going on.
Great. I have a question here from Iris, who's asking about a low-carb, high-fat diet. I think she's referring to like a ketogenic diet, like you spoke about a little bit earlier. And what she's saying is, you said something about hormones, and that's better to stay with live food. This is her comment. Especially in Sweden, doctors are fond of this diet, a high-fat, low-carb diet, and recommend it for patients with diabetes. And so her question is, what exactly does that fat do?
Yeah, it's not so much the low carb high fat diet isn't so much that it's hot, the high fat does any kind of benefit for you per se, unless it's a really good fat. It's just the low carb thing helps keep your insulin levels low. But the problem with the low carb diet in general is that it is a form of starvation, and all forms of starvation can cause insulin resistance over time. So even though you're keeping your insulin levels low, your body's not listening to insulin. And so it's still going to cause your body over time to pump out more insulin to get it to listen. So a diet where you're in a sense starving yourself of carbohydrates is going to work in the short term, but it's going to work against you once your body accumulates some more insulin resistance. Also, you need certain sugars, essential live sugars, live foods have essential sugars that your body needs. And if you don't get those essential sugars, it can cause inflammation, which can also cause insulin resistance. So again, it works in the short term, but not the long term. And as far as my approach, as far as fat, high fat, low fat, high carb, low fat, is that it's not a question of high or low. It's a question of what types of fats and what types of carbs. The right types of fats are the best things you can put in your body, and the wrong types of fats are the worst things you can put in your body. So you have to differentiate between quality fats. Quality fats are, first of all, uncorrupted. That is, they haven't been cooked or overly processed, and they're essential fats, which are the omega-3s mainly. There's also omega-6 and omega-9, but predominantly what we're starving for is omega-3s, which are found in flaxseed oil or ground flaxseeds or linseeds, chia seeds, fish oil capsules, cold water fish. Those are really good fats. And then really bad fats, for example, are deep-fried saturated fats. Deep-fried animal fats and deep-fried vegetable fats are really, really bad for you. And they will cause insulin resistance, and over time it will make it very difficult. They're also very toxic, and it will make it very difficult to burn fat. So it's not a question of high fat or low fat. It's a question of quality fats. As far as sugars, quality sugars are live sugars, live fruits and vegetables, and then bad sugars are dead carbs, which are man-made breads, pastas, and rice and these type of things. They're going to cause a lot of problems with your insulin levels and with insulin resistance. So in general, you want to have a diet that's as close to nature as possible. If you were to imagine what it's like, what would it be like if you were on a tropical island and you were stranded on a tropical island? What could you eat? You could eat fish, chicken, meat, birds. You could eat all the different lettuces, fruits, any other types of salads, nuts, seeds. All of these things have essential fats. They have essential sugars. They help your hormones regulate themselves more properly. You're not forcing yourself through starvation to try to lose weight, and you're not getting your body to go at war with itself. So the high fat, low carb is a short term approach, but in the long term, it gets your body to fight to resist. It's a very popular diet all over the world, not just in Europe. And the reason is it gets results so quickly in short term. But if you look long term what the results are, you hear countless stories of people that have lost 40 kilos and then gained it back. And it's really kind of heartbreaking, because what happens is you have this incredible achievement where you've lost 40 kilos, and then your body starts resisting you. And your insulin levels start to creep up because you get an insulin resistance. You lose the ability to burn fat. You lose the ability to regulate your blood sugar. You start getting junk food cravings. And you've painted yourself into a wall, because now you're used to eating zero carbs. And then you start craving them. Once you eat them again, you have this big rebound effect. And it's really heartbreaking. And I have to deal with the fallout of that all the time from countless people who have said, this diet, that, I've lost 40 kilos by low carb diet, and then I put it back on. And it's really a heartbreaking scenario. So keep a kind of common sense approach, that if you're eating foods that are real, that are not corrupted, that are not man-made, your body's going to know how to handle it. And that's what your body needs.
It's interesting. You know, a lot of people go on a low-carb diet, and they find it hard to believe that their body could be starving for nutrients, right, because they're eating really, really rich foods, maybe really fatty foods, and even kind of decadent foods. But, you know, it's important to remember that your body absolutely needs carbohydrates, and it needs that glucose, and that those ketones that people are referring to in a ketogenic diet, those are your body desperately creating what you're not giving it. So even though, you know, you can be eating really decadent foods, eating plenty of foods, your body's just desperate for that glucose is not getting.
Ketosis is a form of starvation. And a lot of those, even though you're eating a very rich, maybe high-calorie, high-fat diet, a lot of the calories and a lot of the fat that you're eating, you can't use anyway, because the fats have been totally corrupted and destroyed, and it becomes a very toxic experience for your body. And again, your cells of your body need healthy fats, because every cell in your body is coated with fat. And if it's not a healthy fat and it's a corrupted, toxic, rancid fat, every cell of your body becomes coated with an unhealthy, rancid coating that doesn't allow for proper communication with the different hormones in your body. So you end up developing all kinds of problems, like bipolar disease, high blood pressure, heart disease, type 2 diabetes. These are all the results of your body and your hormones not able to communicate, your cells and your hormones not communicating properly.
You know, I have another question here from Shauna that's along the same line. She's in the U.S. and she does a product called Alli, A-L-L-I, which is Orlistat, and it's sold as a weight loss aid. And the idea is to block the absorption of fats in your foods when you're eating them. She's curious about what your thoughts are on these kind of supplements.
Okay, think about it for a second, okay? I just said that every cell of your body is covered in fat. And our brain cells, for example, are 65% fat. And second to water, fat is the number one most predominant molecule in your body. It is essential for the functions of your body. So imagine that you're taking a substance. Number one, you're taking rancid, corrupted fats to start with. Then you're taking a substance that blocks the absorption of fat. And your body is making new cells at the rate of hundreds of millions of cells a day. What is it going to be making the cells out of? And what is the fat that it's going to be, that it's going to use, and where's it going to get that? And that's when you get cellular breakdown, and then you get all kinds of chronic diseases. So it just makes sense if you understand your body and you see how it operates, that it just makes sense that healthy, non-man-made, uncorrupted foods is what is essential, is what your body needs. And when your body has that, your body's nourished. It becomes more sensitive to leptin. It becomes more sensitive to insulin. It burns fat better. You're not as hungry, and you're not fat. And if you look at people for thousands and thousands of years, obesity didn't even exist, and people were thin and fit. And there were times when there was a prevalence of all kinds of delicious natural foods, but your body can regulate how much food it needs if you're giving it the right food, you're nourishing it properly.
John, I have a question from Julie, and she asks if you're familiar with somatic experiencing therapy for trauma healing, and if you are, what are your thoughts?
What's the name of it called?
Somatic experiencing.
No, I'm not familiar with it, but, you know, there are many, many good healing modalities for releasing trauma, and if it comes highly recommended by a reputable source, I would certainly encourage you to give it a shot.
You know, John, it's a recurring question that comes up, and people are interested in seeking out, you know, conventional or alternative healing therapies. And for somebody who's never done that before and somebody's not sure who to work with, do you have any kind of general baseline guide for somebody who's just trying to find somebody locally or maybe virtually who they can trust, how they should approach that whole situation? Because obviously the facilitator is so important.
The facilitator is important, and the modality is important, too. So I just want to talk about the modality first. My experience is that when you're working through past traumas, if you're sitting and kind of just talking about them in your normal conscious waking state, then you're not accessing the trauma, because the trauma happened maybe when you were 5 years old, or maybe in an unconscious, it's been put away in a subconscious, unconscious place. So you can kind of talk about it and talk about it, you're not accessing it. So in order to be effective, you have to go into a different state of consciousness, similar to when we do a visualization. And when you're in what I call the smart mode, or the alpha and theta state. So for starters, I find a good trauma relief technique has to be in a smart mode, in the alpha and the theta. So it has to be in a relaxed state when you're doing a visualization and you're either reliving, re-experiencing, or in some way imagining the trauma in a more healthy way. So there has to be an element of visualization in a relaxed form to be really effective. I've looked at some of the other techniques like EFT, emotional freedom technique, you know, the tapping techniques, and I've tried them, and I find that they work in the short term, but the idea is you're kind of short-circuiting the trauma. But to me, short-circuiting the trauma is not making the trauma go away, and the trauma is going to find a way to recircuit itself and come out in some other way. It's like if you're carrying around something in your hand, a bag that smells, and you put another bag on top of it, okay, for a little while it's not going to smell, but eventually that smell is going to come through. So it's not releasing the trauma, it's sort of rewiring you. So you want to get into that altered state. Now, as far as trusting a therapist, one way is I would go from word of mouth, from anyone that has had success that you trust with working with different people. And the other thing I tell people is to sort of use your intuition. To go to a health food store, and if you go to a health food store, you look at the billboard, and there's lots of different people that deal in healing techniques, and you look at them and you just see who you feel like you trust. You know, and you do get a feeling for people, and you say, that's someone I'm comfortable with, and I can trust. And then read up about them, do a little research on what they do, see if you can get some references, and then maybe give that person a try. That's usually a good indication.
I have a similar question from Hane, and she says she's been doing regression therapy, and she's actually been working with a psychotherapist for the past 4 years. She's just not feeling like she's really getting the results. And so, you know, she's doing the therapy, and she feels like she has somebody who's qualified, and she understands the issue. What does she do if she's not getting results? Do you have any? It's a tough question, but I wonder if you have any suggestions for her.
Well, I think it depends on what it is that she's working on. And you're right, it is a tough question because it's not a one-size-fits-all type of thing. I mean, is there one specific issue in her life that she's trying to work through? Was there an accumulation of stresses? What's the issue is important. I certainly would try other modalities, no question about it, and other healers. And then I would also listen to visualization number four in session four that we did, because I think from the visualizations that I've heard, as a one-size-fits-all type of visualization, that covers trauma and the feeling of just feeling safe and supported and able to let go of weight. That covers that issue more than any other general visualization I've ever seen. So I would continue to listen to the visualization number four and then seek to find another healer. We actually, if you email us, jenny@thegabrielmethod.com, we've got one or two that we recommend that I personally like very much.
Jen, I have a question from Cindy, and this is a very challenging, longer question, but I think this is important. She says she needs help. She was doing the visualizations, and she had a few issues. The column of light, she says, felt claustrophobic, and the train coming at her felt exciting. And the living goddess seemed to work better, but she said she wasn't 12 feet high. She's basically struggling with a lot of the visual images. Yeah. And let me give you a little bit of the backstory. She's identified the fact that, you know, feeling safe is really a challenge for her. And she has a special needs daughter who's been diagnosed with cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and a whole lot of other things. They're not 100% sure what's going on. But when it comes down to it, what she feels like is that she's not safe because her daughter's not safe. And that sort of, she feels very scared about her daughter's situation, because if something were to happen, her daughter's not able to take care of herself. So she's trying to work with visualization. She's trying to feel safety and security in her life. But she has this daughter who she feels completely responsible for, and she just can't seem to find that feeling of safety and security. She's wondering if you have any suggestions about how she can continue to work through this.
I think she's right about the living goddess. I think the living goddess is a very suitable visualization, because for her it's about feeling supported, so that she has the strength to continue to support her daughter, and so that she feels like there's a support coming through her that's bigger than her. She needs to feel that, because she's feeling overwhelmed. So the living goddess is a really important visualization. As far as the column of light feeling claustrophobic and the train and these the image not being 12 feet, I just feel like that's sort of a resistance that her body's giving, because her body's sort of bucking the fact that it doesn't feel safe. And I wouldn't get too bogged down. You can make the column of light bigger. The angel could be smaller. You don't have to use the train. You can make it your own. Don't get bogged down. Just recognize that your body is in a state at the moment where it doesn't feel safe, and it's resistant. The concept of safety, don't get too concerned with the details. Continue to practice that visualization, also the visualization four, without worrying about whether the column of light is claustrophobic and all these details. Don't worry about too much of the details. Do whatever works for you. Don't do what doesn't work for you. But I would definitely listen to the living goddess and feel during the day. If you listen to the living goddess in the morning, then feel during the day that you have this connection with this higher self, this higher part of you that's nourishing you, that's giving you energy and sustenance, and that energy and sustenance is passing through you into your daughter and giving your daughter everything she needs, so that you, in a sense, become a tap for a higher energy rather than all of it being rested on your shoulders and your own personal energy.
John, I have a question from Sue, and this is a question that comes up with a lot of people. She's dealing with a medical condition. She's on medication, trying to figure out what to do. So she's had her thyroid removed 7 years ago and has been on Oroxyne, which is a medication, I'm assuming, ever since. And she's concerned about poisons and toxins from the medications, and she knows that her thyroid has many functions. Is there any way to replicate the medicine, this Oroxyne that she's taken, or is there something she can do to, she's just concerned that she's in, has her fat programs on, essentially. And we've gotten quite a few questions from people, whether they're on hormone replacement therapy, whether they're on medication for chronic pain, medication for depression, and they're just trying to navigate the world with this issue where they need to take medication, but they know perhaps the medication is creating a challenge. So, you know, what's an intelligent, safe, medically sound way to approach that?
There's two issues with medication. One is that all medications are toxic to some degree, and accumulated toxicity can cause your body to hold on to weight. The other issue is that certain medications actually activate your fat programs. That's a much bigger issue. And so you have to first ask yourself, is the medication just a problem because it's causing an elevated level of toxicity, which is one, or is it actually activating my fat programs? Now, if it's actually activating your fat programs, it's a much bigger issue. And if it's actually activating your fat programs, as is the case with for example, antidepressants, some treatments for insulin, for type 2 diabetes, just by way of example, and some treatments for inflammation and things like that. So if it's actually activating your fat programs, then you have to devise an approach to see what it's going to take over time to see if we can either find an alternative type of treatment or to work with your doctor to sort of wean you off the medication. Now, when you're talking about depression, type 2 or bipolar disease or type 2 diabetes, I have seen instances where people have worked with their doctors over time and the issue has gone away. They've been able to take them off of it. Now, adding more omega-3 fatty acids is a real good solution for that, and reducing stress, both of those things will help solve the root cause of the problem. Now, never go off medication without working with your doctor. Never, ever do that. But if you're taking medications activating your fat programs, see if you can work with your doctor over a six-month period. Say, hey, listen, I'm doing a lot of things to try to become more healthy. Can we just test it every couple of weeks, every month, see if we can wean ourselves off a little bit at a time? Certain asthma medications also activate your fat programs. Now, when you're improving your digestion, that oftentimes can help improve your asthma because your immune system gets much stronger and you may not need the asthma medication. So little things that you're doing to help improve the overall quality of the way your body's functioning may help get you to the point where you no longer need the medication. Again, work with your doctor. Now, if the medication is just causing an accumulated type of toxicity, that's not as bad an issue. I'd still look to see if there's a possibility to wean yourself off the medication. And if there isn't, then just do what you can to detoxify. Have lots of juices, wheatgrass juice, alkaline foods, salads, green leafy vegetables, lots of water, things that flush out your system, colonics, all these different things that can help clean out your system on a regular basis to help minimize the toxic effect. Now, in your particular case with the thyroid, obviously, if you don't have a thyroid, you need that medication, and that medication is actually not going to hurt you. It's not going to cause you weight gain. It's actually going to help you lose weight because without a thyroid, you would just continue to gain weight. So the medication's not hurting you. It's from a weight perspective, except for the accumulated toxicity, but it's not certainly not activating your fat programs. It's helping you lose weight. I would also, though, check with Dr. Leibowitz, who I've talked about on several occasions, from the Leibowitz and Longevity Center in California. He's got a radio show called Hormones Spoken Here. It's also an internet-based show. If you do a search on the internet, Hormones Spoken Here by Dr. Howard Leibowitz, he's a friend of mine. You can call in and talk to him. I would definitely call in and talk to him and ask him if there's any natural alternative to the medication you're taking as a form of thyroid replacement.
Jim, I have a question from Diane. She says, she's not using the scale, and she's happy about that, but she wants to know, how do I know if this is working? Meaning, if she's not weighing herself, how does she know if the Gaber method approach is working for her?
Okay, well, the first indication that you'll have that the Gaber method is working for you is that you're not going to have the same sugar cravings, junk food cravings, low blood episodes, tiredness that you might otherwise have gotten at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or after dinner or at 11 o'clock. You'll find that your blood sugar is more stable. You're not craving junk food, donuts, pizzas, things like that. That's the first, and you're not hungry at night. That's the first indication that it's working. Then what you'll find is that your clothes start to become looser. People start commenting. And then it just takes a positive momentum from there, and you just get more and more energy. So you definitely, there's no question you'll know, everyone else will know, you'll feel it, and you'll also feel it within yourself.
So I have a question from Linda, and we've had a couple people ask this question. She says, when I take vinegar in the morning, it burns my stomach, and some people can have a sort of a heartburn reaction to taking vinegar. And she's asking, can I use lemon instead, or do you have any other recommendations? She says she's lactose intolerant and allergic to almonds, and she wants to know what you think about using coconut milk for smoothies. And she says she also uses hemp and chia seed protein powder, and she wants to ask if that's a good replacement because she's also allergic to soy.
Just go back to the first part of the question. Because before we do, it sounds to me like if you're allergic to a lot of foods, I would definitely have probiotics and digestive enzymes, either probiotics in the morning and night or with meals, and definitely digestive enzymes with meals, so that over time your body regains its ability to digest better, so that you don't have as many food allergies. Coconut milk is great, hemp protein powder and chia seeds, they're fine. They're really good. And then as far as vinegar, don't worry about it. You don't need vinegar. Lemon water is fine, or just water on its own is fine, as long as you can get other sources of alkaline foods like fresh juices or live greens, then you're fine. But I'm sensing that there's a digestion issue, which is very common. Most people have one to greater and lesser degrees. Yours, you have to the extent that it's manifesting as allergies and heartburns and things like that. So you need to take care of your digestion by taking digestive enzymes, probiotics, and as much live food as possible. But live food, when I say live food, live greens and fruits. I don't mean like live broccoli is not something you should take, or nuts and seeds necessarily, because they're not so easy to digest live. If you are eating nuts and seeds, I would soak them first, because that'll help reduce what are called enzyme inhibitors that inhibits your digestion of them. And I would definitely stay away from soy. You did mention you were allergic to soy. I would stay away from soy. It does interfere with your digestion. Gluten or wheat products and products with gluten interfere with your digestion also. So more probiotics, live foods, digestive enzymes, and then the water, however you want to respond.
And we have a question from Marlene, and she's referring to the core lesson number 6, the visualization class.
All right. Before we do, Lucas, we have a couple of callers online, so I'm thinking let me take a couple of calls and I'll come back. I'll come back to Marlene. So our first caller is Katarina. Okay. So we've got Katarina in Munich.
Hi, John. Good morning.
Hi. How are you, Katarina?
Fine. How are you?
Good. I recognize you from the forum. Is that right? You've been on the forum a few times. I've seen you on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I have a couple of visualization questions.
Yes.
I've been trying to learn to meditate for a while, and I'm actually very comfortable in the lotus position with the cushion, and I'm used to sitting like this, being still. And I find it easiest, to not get drowsy, but be there. Can I do the visualizations in this position? Because sometimes you say, put your feet on the ground.
Yeah, 100%. If that's something you're comfortable with and you're used to it, absolutely, 100%.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And can I mix them, the different visualizations?
Yeah, well, so, I would do it. So give me an example of what you mean by that.
listen to the week's morning visualization, and then whatever I need, I'm trying to take a break every now and then and just feel nice. So I put on whatever feels good, which is usually it is the abundance, are safe and strong.
Absolutely. Well, it's only too much if it feels too much. I mean, if it's relaxing you, if it's energizing you, if you're getting positive benefit from it, then absolutely visualization is not something that you can overdo, like overtraining for exercise or something like that. But if it's feeling like a chore, then I definitely wouldn't do it. But otherwise, absolutely. The more the better. Yeah.
Great.
Definitely.
And then I have some questions about the ideal body picture. Because I'm like trundling through this without any real picture of me. I haven't gotten a picture that you could hang on the wall. I don't have a picture in my head because I have no idea what I would look like thin.
Okay.
And what about scars? You know, often I've been looking through magazines, catalogs, whatever I get my hands on, looking for a picture that says something to me. But I have a huge scar on my belly, and if I see, you know, a beautiful picture with that perfect slim belly, it's just not credible for me. I can't believe that.
Yeah. Well, obviously, then you want to choose a picture of someone who's clothed. But the benefit of the picture really is to just have in your body an image of what your ideal body would look like, and then just for an instant, close your eyes and sort of feel what that would feel like. It's not that important that it's exactly you or that it's exactly your ideal body. It's just the feeling. You sort of, if you look at a picture of someone thin, you close your eyes and you imagine that, you get the feeling of that. You get a feeling of thinness, and that's enough to communicate to your body that being thin is probably a safer strategy.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't necessarily need to see it. I can just feel it, basically.
What I have
now is sort of a Frankenstein collage of a pretty arms, pretty collarbones, and a nice
body. Well, I wouldn't go too far with this. I would just be real simple and just find an attractive body. that's all one piece.
Okay.
And just look at it for a couple of seconds and close your eyes. After that, I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. My pleasure. Yeah. Okay. I appreciate your comments in the forum, too, for a lot of people. I've noticed them. So keep up the good work.
Thank you, Will.
Okay.
Thank you for helping us.
my pleasure. Okay.
Bye, Jim.
Take care. And then, Lucas, I'm going to take one other caller. We've got Ruby in the U.K. Ruby, you there?
Yes, hello, John.
Hi, Ruby. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for all of this. I feel that it is going to transform me, so I haven't lost any weight yet.
Okay.
I just had a question on ghrelin. I believe that's a hormone that causes fat to be packed around the middle of your body.
It's a hormone that's produced from your stomach that tells your brain to be hungry, is basically what it is. Yeah. What's the question about it? Yeah.
No, I was just wondering how you can get it to turn off or whatever.
No, I wouldn't worry.
If that is a problem.
Okay, I wouldn't worry about ghrelin. I personally, in my research, would come across it, and then the reason why I wouldn't focus on it too much because hormones, as far as weight loss goes, have a hierarchy. And if you look at hormones sort of like, if you look at it as like an army, there's hormones that are on the front line, soldiers, then there's colonels, and there's generals, and then there's the president. You know, it's that type of thing. So ghrelin in there might be like a sergeant or something like that, whereas you look at leptin or insulin, and that's, you know, leptin could be insulin could be a general, and leptin could be a president. You know, so if you focus, once you get your body to be more sensitive to leptin and insulin, which is the things I focus on, the ghrelin thing falls into place.
Okay.
So I know a lot of people focus on ghrelin and another one called neuropeptide Y and these different hormones that are specifically in charge of hunger and satiety, but you're not addressing the real issue there, and you're not looking at the big picture. You're just having a short-term fix of not being hungry and not eating as much type of thing. So I wouldn't worry too much about ghrelin.
Okay.
Okay.
And then just a question on exercise.
Yes.
I've got a vibration plate.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
I like those. You know, I don't know. Like, it's not an exercise per se. You know, your heart's not beating. You're not running away from anything. But they're great for detoxifying. You know, they clean your lymphatic system. There is sort of, you know, there's this, it does work, your kind of small muscle coordinated type of thing. And I haven't used them on a regular basis, but, you know, they always have them in the malls when you're walking through and they try to sell them to you. And I've been on them and I feel like, yeah, I think there's something to them. I think there's benefit there. So I definitely think there'll be some strengthening benefit. There'll be some detoxification benefit. And it could give you some more energy, and then you might feel like you develop enough energy where when you're biking, you might want to, you know, bike real quick, or you walk on the beach and you might want to go for a 10-second sprint or something like that. It'll take you to the next level.
Okay,
so,
perfect.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of those? You've had them for a while? Or?
I've had it for a while, yes. Yeah, it's pretty good, actually, mostly. I do have a spinal problem, though, so I don't overdo it.
Yeah. What about stationary biking? Can you do stationary biking?
I hated it.
Yeah. Did it bother your spine?
I was doing that before I actually had much in the spinal problem. Perhaps it was I didn't know I had the spinal problem for a while. I had to get acute before I realized.
Yeah.
Yes, it was just so very uncomfortable and.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, keep doing what you're doing. Okay. And like I say, you know, exercise is a very small component. More important is dealing with the stresses that are causing your body to want to hold onto weight, and we're doing that. So stay focused on the big picture and keep doing what you're doing. And it feels to me like you're definitely on the right path.
Fantastic. Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And then let me take also, Lucas, I've got
like
Luis.
Exercise is a very small component. More important is dealing with the stresses that are causing your body to want to hold on to doing it. So.
Okay. I've got Louise in Melbourne here also.
Definitely.
Louise?
Fantastic. Thank you, John. Thank you so much.
Louise, are you there?
And then let me take also Louise.
Hold on 1 second. Here. What's that? Who is Louise? Okay. Louise, are you there? Louise,
hey, John?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, Louise from Melbourne. That's right. How are you, John?
Good. How are you?
Hello.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Hello. Good. Thank you, John. Just a couple of questions, John. We spoke about a couple of weeks ago in regard of my digestive system, and you felt that I've got a problem there, and I totally agree with you. What I needed to know is, can I buy your digestive enzyme from your store?
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't officially announced the launch of our store, which we're going to do in a couple of weeks, but if you go to thegabrielmethod.com, which is not gabrielmethod.com, but you need to put the in front of it, so thegabrielmethod.com/store, you'll find our proprietary blend of probiotics and digestive enzymes. Yeah, I'm really happy with them, and you can order them from there.
And I also buy your protein that I bought at the beginning of this year. That's still okay, isn't it, to use your protein?
Yeah, we're coming up with it. We're coming up with a better one, which we'll have in about 2 or 3 months, probably about 2 months.
Okay, then I should finish what I've got. Yeah. Now, my other question is, John, is I'm also diabetic, but controlled by diet. Now, I check my the level once a month or whatever, but at the beginning of the month, I started checking it, and I'm doing all the big three, following everything you say, but I've noticed my insulin, it keeps going up. Like, it went up to 8.8 and then goes down 7.9.
Well,
and then
insulin,
up again.
Not your insulin, your blood sugar. Mm.
The blood sugar, I'm insulin. Yeah, just, you know, check it in the morning.
Are you a type 2 diabetic?
Type 2, yes.
Okay. Well, keep in mind, to keep in mind that the food component is about 20% of it. It's an important 20%, but stress is what causes insulin resistance more than anything else. So don't lose sight of the stress aspect of it. How long have you been a type 2 diabetic?
Oh, about a couple of years now.
A couple of years, like three or four years? Or?
Three or four years, yes.
Okay. And
I do have a lot of stress.
Yes.
I stress about everything and anything.
Yes. Yes. Don't lose sight of that, okay? Stress more than anything is what causes insulin resistance, and the insulin resistance is what causes the type 2 diabetes. So stay focused on listening to the visualizations. Are you eating things like bread, pastas? Are you hungry at night?
No, I've cut down a lot, and I also lost 3 kilos since I've been on your program.
Okay, cool. Good. And what was your blood sugar before that?
Oh, well, I did it, you know, the blood test that you go in, you do that insulin, glucose tolerance test they do there. And I think it was about 7 point something, and they said I'm officially diabetic type 2.
Yeah. Are you on any medication?
No, not for diabetes,
okay.
No. But I am for cholesterol and...
The cholesterol, again, is stress-related, too. So keep focusing on the stress side of things. I think you got everything's all right with you. It sounds like you got the diet probably pretty well intact, but stay focused on the stress side of things, because my guess as I'm talking to you is that's what's caused you a lot of problems.
Yes.
I can hear it, you know, yes. Where you say you worry about everything. So listen to a visualization every morning and every night and see how your stress levels go.
Which one do you suggest? This morning I went back to listen to for the insulin. I thought maybe that might help. Shall I do that in the morning?
I think so.
And what do I do for the stress one? The stress-free living or the light that you've on lesson 5? That was great. You know, the light from the sky, that was the best visualization for me.
Was that lesson 5 or lesson 6?
Five, I think. You know, the one, the light that with the train that hits you, the light that's lesson 5, wasn't it?
That was lesson 4. Yeah, lesson 4.
Lesson
yeah, that's
four,
a great
sorry.
One.
Okay, lesson.
Yeah, that's a great one for you. It's a really great one for you, definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so do the insulin one in the morning and the other one during the day?
If you can, that would be super. That would be really good if you can do that. Is that something you think you can do on a regular basis?
During the morning, at night, on a regular basis now. I'm really into it, but I haven't tried it during the day yet.
Yeah, listen, if you can do it in the afternoon, that would be fabulous. That would really help your stress levels a lot.
Okay, I shall do that.
Yeah.
Great,
okay.
And I really appreciate
Beautiful.
Your help, and thank you very
thank
much.
You. My pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay. Lucas?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's say, so we have a little bit more time. If you want to, you know, ask me a couple more questions.
Sure,
then
yeah,
I think we'll wrap it up till tomorrow. Yeah.
Sounds good. I've got two more questions here.
Okay.
So back to Marlene's question about visualization. She says, do we visualize just one thing at a time, or can you visualize several things during one visualization?
Okay, several things. It's tough to. I'd have to ask her what she means by several things.
So the issue is, you know, she's wondering, you know, if she's doing a visualization on her own, should she focus just on trying to get rid of her sugar cravings, or should she try to deal with, you know, releasing past traumas and other multiple things at one time?
I think it's okay to do several things in a visualization, because what happens is you're able to get the benefit of the visualization much quicker the more you do it. It's almost like if you look at your brain's like a program, the program of the visualization program kind of gets played quicker. So maybe the first time you've had this visualization where it took you 15 minutes or 20 minutes to go back to a past trauma and relieve it and rewire your brain and the association, but then you can go back and then just maybe next time 2 minutes, maybe it takes 2 minutes. To do it, and then eventually just 30 seconds. So, yes, you can do several things in one visualization, and eventually you get better and better and more effective at it. So it only gets easier. And so whatever issues you're working at, whether it's abundance, you can just boom, 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 hit them one after the other if you're comfortable doing that, definitely.
And then one last question here from Joy, and we've dealt with a question like this a couple of times, but if she can't get fresh squeezed wheatgrass at a reasonable price, and so she's wondering where she can get a wheatgrass juicer in South Africa. We can talk about that at a different time. But she's kind of wondering if wheatgrass juice is essential and if there is any other way to kind of get the same benefits.
Wheatgrass juice is not essential. Wheatgrass juice to me is a tremendous benefit if you can have it. But if you can't have it, I've been drinking recently just, for example, fresh squeezed live juices made predominantly from celery. I've got a dealer, a store here that gives me organic celery. If you can get organic celery, it's great. But celery, and then you can put some other of your favorite vegetables in. But it's got to be at least 50% celery. Otherwise, it spikes your blood sugar too much. But it's going to have a lot of the chlorophyll in it, and it's going to have a lot of the cleansing effect that wheatgrass juice. Not as strong a cleanser. It's a more of a mild cleanser, and you can drink more of it, and it's easier to digest, and it's also more accessible. So a wheatgrass juicer can also do celery. But if you are interested in getting a juicer, and that's one thing you can check on the store we carry a juicer. I'm not sure if it ships overseas. I have to check into that. But you can check on our store. We have some juicers. We have also handheld juicers if you do want to do the wheatgrass thing. But just get as much. The key really is just get as much live food as you can, especially green leafy salads, or to juice green leafy vegetables. And that'll go a long way to give you that cleansing effect and also that life force of vitality that we so desperately are starving for.
Yeah, you know, John, I think you've mentioned in the past, you know, with wheatgrass, one of the biggest reasons that you have it is because it's fresh because of that live chlorophyll. And so a lot of people get kind of hung up on the wheatgrass thing, and they want to get it dried or frozen or any way they can.
Yeah.
And a lot of times there's a really great green option right where they're living. Maybe they have access to good quality spirulina, or like you said, maybe they're just going to do a spinach juice, or they're going to do other green juices in the morning. And in many cases, that's going to be better than a dried or a frozen wheatgrass, I think.
Right. Or even just like, a salad with sprouts and lots of green leafy vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, try to make as many of your meals a salad as possible. You know, that's a more sustainable thing than wheatgrass in a sense, because wheatgrass you do, you don't do. It has tremendous benefits, but then you might forget, or you might run out, or you don't plant it. But if you make it a point to have a green leafy, a nice, really green, rich leafy salad, and preferably organic with every meal, then you're getting, it's a much more mild benefit, but you're getting the life force, you're getting the chlorophyll. Yeah.
Well, great, John. That just about wraps up our text questions for the day.
Okay, we have. We're going to take one more caller that just called in, Aliana from Spain, and then we'll wrap up till tomorrow. So, Aliana, are you there? Aliana.
Hello.
Okay. Hi.
Hi. This is Elena from Spain.
Hi, Elena.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm a bit nervous.
Okay.
I was wondering, I have been seeing an endocrinologist for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And I am getting tested of my thyroid.
Yes.
And every time I get a test, it's quite stressing, you know, because I think if I fail again, I will get more medicines and what can I do?
Yeah. Well, okay. So the first thing I want to say is the more you follow the approach that we've laid out over the last 6 weeks of improving your digestion, getting more real foods, live foods, and foods that cleanse your system, and reducing stress, the more it's going to benefit your thyroid. Because it's going to benefit all of your organs and all of your hormones, and the way all of your organs and hormones communicate, it's going to increase your immune system. Many people that have thyroid problems, like one of the questions that Lucas had for us earlier was a lady with Hashimoto's. Now, Hashimoto's is when your own immune system sees your thyroid as a foreign body and starts attacking it. Now, if your body's functioning properly and your thyroid is healthy and not overly burdened and your immune system is strong, it's not going to get and your hormones are communicating properly with your cells and your cells are sensitive to hormones, you're not going to get these miscommunications. And things are going to be functioning better. So the best thing you can do for your thyroid, you understand, is simply follow the steps that we've laid out toward cleansing your body, nourishing your body, reducing stress, getting your hormones to work well together, and getting your mind and body to work well together. And you won't, and your body won't get that type of confusion. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, actually, my boyfriend has Hashimoto, and I have only had problems with my thyroid since a couple of months, as far as I know, because before I had no tests. So I don't know how long, maybe it's 2 years or maybe it was just 5 months.
Yeah.
And I was under a very, very low dose of levothyrox for 4 months or 3 months. And last time I told my doctor I wanted to try without the medication and see if that worked, if my body has actually tried to move on and do the things and release the toxin, the hormone for itself. So I got a test yesterday, and I'm hoping the results are good and I can just live without medication.
Well, I think go ahead.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful.
I have actually.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I have actually noticed that my bowels are working much, much better. I don't have so many cravings, but if I am on stress, then this may come, but I can do something for it.
Good. I would venture to say that within 4 to 8 weeks, if you get another test, there's a really good chance that your body is going to show such marked increase in its ability to function more properly and your thyroid function more properly that your doctor might be really surprised. I would also make a point to make sure you're getting lots of digestive enzymes and probiotics. Live green leafy vegetables to improve your digestion, because again, 80% of your immune system comes from your stomach. And if your body is not able to digest foods properly, your immune system gets overworked, the digestive enzymes get overworked, and then your immune system can't fight off other things.
I wanted to thank you because in these 7 weeks, I've gone from going to the toilet once a week or twice a week from going daily and even twice a day.
That's beautiful. That's going to make a huge difference. It really is. Because another reason why our immune system gets overworked is because we've got this thing that I talked about in session 3, the leaky gut syndrome, that comes from our digestion not working properly and then our toxins being backed up in our digestion system and then leaking into our blood system and our bloodstream. And then once they get into our bloodstream, our immune system attacks them because they're a foreign body. And so our immune system gets overworked. So the more you're improving your digestion, I don't know if you remember in session 3, we also talked about things like gluten and wheat and the problems that they cause. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so those are big issues also for you. So the more you can kind of repair things like leaky gut syndrome and have your system, digestive system functioning properly, I think it's going to have enormous, enormous impact, a positive impact on your health and on your thyroid function. And I would love to hear from you in about 4 to 8 weeks after you've had that test. Maybe you could email me and let me know, let me know how that's going, because I would really like to hear.
Okay, thank you.
All right, beautiful. Okay.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Lucas, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're going to we'll probably wrap it up for now, and then we'll have our regular show tomorrow morning, which is going to be Thursday night U.S. time, Friday morning Australia time, and middle of the night GMT time. And we can, if anybody else has any other questions, we can talk to them then. We'll be more than happy to talk to you.
Great.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, beautiful. Thanks very much, and we'll speak to you soon.